You're listening to the WYXR Archived, powered by listeners like you. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
Do you ever rise early morning in the sunlight, the tears on your face? And you wonder how you wound up down under the high from the smile of yesterday. So if you don't want me, why don't you leave me? If you won't have me, why receive me?
Hey, real man.
Say
is Sophia, and you're listening to WYXR Straight from the Source. We're playing a little bit of Southern Ave today. We'll be able to chat with some of the band members today about their new album. But in the meantime, we're going to jam to some of their influences. Let's vibe today.
This was the land that it worked by hand. Yeah. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. Yeah. It was a love that I was proud of. This is the life that he planned. On the love, the same old love. In the house to Jack Bill.
The house to Jack Bill.
Remember this house. There was a fence that held our love.
Yes, it
there was. There was a gate that he walked out of. This is my heart, it has turned to stone.
Okay.
Well, all right, then. We finna get ready to do our thing on here. Ain't that where you going there? I'm going down south. 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 The chillin' the wind don't blow. I'd rather be dead, 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 6 feet in the ground. There's some black man, there's some black man. Some black man, some black man, and some black man is always hanging around. I'm gonna be dead, I'm gonna be dead, I'm gonna be dead. in the ground. Well, all right then.
You're listening to WYXR 91.7, and we're going down south today as we are going to be chatting with the incredible Southern Ave in just a bit about their latest album, Family. In the meantime, we are keeping it nice and southern, nice and bluesy, nice and rootsy to get y'all in the mood for what they have to offer. So far, we've listened to some R.L. Burnside. We've already listened to one of my personal faves by Southern Ave, Savior. We listened to a little bit of Aretha Franklin, Buddy Miles, and yours truly, Talibah Sophia. Right now, we've got on Dwayne Burnside of the bloodline of the Burnsides of Northern Mississippi. Next up, we'll be hearing some Mississippi sounds featuring my boy Memphis's own Yella P, as we're going to just kind of celebrate those of us who are still keeping this tradition alive as we wait to chat with our good friends from Southern Ave. Keep it locked at WYXR. I'm Talibah Sophia. This is 91.7 FM.
That sound like standard right there.
Thank you. across the wrong way.
Lay down. nothing but the roof. All right.
This is WYXR 91.7 FM, and my name is Taliba Safiya, and the moment has finally arrived. The ladies I promised you would be here today, TK and Tierney of Southern Ave, are in the building. Say hello.
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 I'm so grateful to have y'all here. I was just telling them that this morning I spent the morning with their latest project, Family. And family is such an important thing to me. So to be able to listen to the perspective of another family with so much warmth and so much love was really the cradle that I needed this morning. So thank y'all for that.
Aww, you're welcome.
So it's been 4 years since your last album release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me, what is Southern Ave reintroducing about itself with this new project?
Ooh. Well, I think, you know, you said 4 years since our last project. Mm-hmm. I think that during that time, it was, and I hate to say this word, but it was the pandemic. and the world shut down, and it gave us opportunity to just breathe, because we've been hustling on the road for like a few years, you know, just breaking into the industry. And we were very young as a band when we started getting a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And we knew we had great potential, but we were still finding ourselves as artists, as a collective. Mm-hmm. We didn't really see what everybody else saw in us. And mm-hmm. I think when the pandemic happened, it allowed us to assess ourselves and understand, okay, if we take away all the lights, the stage, the back, you know, you take away all the glitz and glamour, who is Southern Avenue to our core? Mm-hmm. And also in that time, Ava graduated college, my baby sister. Mm-hmm. So she decided to join the band full time, and all the answers were there. Mm-hmm. It was obvious. Mm-hmm. This is who we are to our core. We're gonna write an album sonically that sounds like everything we grew up singing, mm-hmm. everything we grew up on. We're going to go back to our roots. We're going to embrace the blues. Mm-hmm. We're going to be who we are. And also the creative process of the album was special because we were intentional about writing songs that you could play on, you know, just guitar and vocals.
Yeah.
That's how we wrote it, because that's how you ensure that the song is just the story. It's mm-hmm. just all you need is a good story, and all the production and stuff can come afterwards. But we built off of that, and so now, like, the whole album, it sounds great acoustic. We can just sing it,
yeah,
stomps and hand claps,
yes,
and
yes,
so
yes,
you know, that's it all fell into place when Ava decided to join, and you know, also that was a point where it felt like the family of Southern Avenue was complete.
Yeah, definitely. And to add to it, we recorded this project at Royal Studios.
Yes.
So it was the first time we actually did a project there, but it felt so much like home when we were there that it was like, wow, I can't believe we haven't been here before now. Like, I can't believe we didn't come to this place, you know, before now, but everything has its perfect timing.
Yeah.
And we were so well prepared, and we had worked so hard going into the studio because of just knowledge and experience from our previous albums, that when we went into the studio, it was nothing but pure energy mm-hmm. to elevate what we had already worked on. And just being in the room, a lot of what the album is, a lot of it came in through the room, you know, just being there in the moment. And so working with Boo Mitchell mm-hmm. and John Burke, who's known us since day one, mm-hmm. you know, Boo Mitchell and John Burke both are like the reason we signed to Stax in mm-hmm. the beginning. They discovered us, or Boo brought John to our show that we were having. You know, so it was a full circle with this album in terms of just like the people involved.
It was also, you know, like
magic,
Boo Mitchell, their family legacy.
Absolutely.
And our family legacy. Mm-hmm. It's like a legacy that has been established for years, and then our family legacy just now, you know, mm-hmm. being like, you know, established and joining together. I think that was also very, very special.
It definitely was. When I was looking at the Rum Boogie is coming up underneath, y'all, we have to stop talking so I can listen to my favorite song in the studio, okay? I love this song so much. This is Rum Boogie. Let's jam and we'll talk a little bit more in
sounds
a bit.
Good.
Okay, cool.
Before we knew it, we'd rocked our way to the heart of the
tonight, toting nanny. Tell fast talking Fanny. We gonna pitch a ball down to that Union Hall. We gonna romp and tromp till midnight. We gonna fuss and fight till daylight. We gonna pitch a wing and doodle all night long. 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 We gonna pitch a wing and doodle all night long. Tell Cuda crawling red. Tell I have a senior dead.
This cover so much because Wang Dang Doodle is one of my favorite songs, and I want y'all to know that Tierney is singing this verse on Wang Dang Doodle, which was on the Sinners soundtrack. Please tell me how that happened, however you feel led to tell me how it happened. It could be like the logical steps or whatever.
Well,
you feel led to share.
The musical producer, Ludwig, called Boo Mitchell to get all, you know, all the blues cats into the studio. And luckily, just a week before Southern Avenue, we'd wrapped up our album. And so I spent that whole week talking Boo's ear off about, like I'm sick of us, like them pushing us to be the cool kids. We need to do traditional. We need to do traditional. And they're like, how do you keep the blues alive? I'm like, you reiterate the tradition of blues. Like, I need to write traditional blues. And so I talked his ear off that whole week. And so this opportunity came up just a week or two later, and he was like, I need you to come into the studio for a writing session for a movie. And that's all he said. And I was there because, like, I was like, it's traditional. He was like, yeah, it's for a movie, and it's during an era where blues was unplugged. So this particular day, we're working with all, like, the Hill Country cats. And, like, so I walk into the studio, and it's like every legend that that has, like, it's like it was a moment where my heroes became my peers, and I was writing with Bobby Rush and Cedric Burnside, and like, you know, so many, like,
wow,
legends. But I had my eye on Cedric Burnside for a few years, and I was like, I always wanted, so when I knew he was there, I was like, that's what I'm gonna do. So I wrote like 8 hours, a few songs. I wrote 3 songs in one day. The song that I wrote with Cedric Burnside actually made it to the soundtrack. It's called Can't Win for Losing. And it was just a wonderful experience. They called us in to do Wang Dang Doodle sometime afterwards. And it was just a wonderful opportunity. I got to just, I felt so blessed because.
Please tell me, why is the traditional important? Because we're moving forward. It's 2025. We're living in the future, and everybody's moving fast. Time is moving fast. Why is it important to hold on to traditions?
I don't know how to say this, but like, if you go out into the blues world, the festivals, and you look around, it's mostly white people. It's, you know, amazing guitarists shredding over church music. It's like really amazing talent, but it has no power because it has no ties to the bloodline and the stories of which the tradition was built on. So it's like everybody can enjoy the blues, and a lot of people can, you know, can play it, but when you talk about the tradition of it, it was a spiritual tool for healing. That was all we had was the blues, and that's what our people used to heal ourselves. So when the market changed to, you know, like being more dominated by older, you know, white men, black people kind of lost touch. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't cool and mainstream anymore. So when we stopped singing it, we our ancestors didn't have their voices in the music anymore.
Absolutely.
So only through our voices, only through our voices can our ancestors have their, you know, their freedom. We have to keep it in remembrance of where it came from.
Absolutely.
And what it means for us. Like, music is very, very, I'm getting chills. Like, it's such a strong spiritual tool. It predates religion, you know? There's no, the musical language of, the language of music is just like,
there's no time.
There's something about it. And so I feel like in every interview, everybody asks, how do you keep the blues alive? And I'm like, the blues is not dead. You're just seeing, you know, the industry of people that have no ties to the bloodline. In Memphis, we still sang the blues. You know what I'm saying? I think that we are the future of the blues, and we keep it alive by telling our stories through the blues. And that's why I feel like it's traditional blues is more important than contemporary, because, you know, they want you to get the young kids involved. And this is old people music. They got to age into it. You got to tell the stories. And as they live, it's going to remind them of who they are. You know what I mean?
Snaps. I feel like that's so deep, because along with the tradition of the blues shifting in that direction, the same thing is true about hoodoo. The same thing is true about the food and everything that goes together in the context of this Black Southern culture. And I think, you know, as we talk about being in the city of Memphis, and we talk about our city healing, and, you know, we constantly having conversations about gun violence and trying to figure out how to get young people to be more excited about where we're from, then we can't have that conversation with shame. And shame leads you to release your past instead of holding on to it, helping it to find context in the present moment. And I feel like y'all do such an incredible job of finding the context in the present moment of how to keep us connected to our why and our how that we survived in this place anyway. It's a miracle that we have survived for this long, that our music has survived, that our language has survived, that our spirituality has survived. And one thing that I love about y'all is you're so unapologetically connected to our Southern story, our Memphis story, that you named your band after Southern Avenue, which so many people in Memphis have a connection to. That is one of my favorite secret passages to not be on Poplar or Union. I'm always on Southern Avenue, okay?
Exactly. Yeah.
Swerving potholes, like, you know, it's a video game. But can y'all tell me, like, what neighborhood specifically did y'all come up in, and how does that neighborhood, that flavor of Memphis, affect the way that you are distilling our music?
Well, the band name came from Ori was living on Cox in Cooper Young, mm-hmm. and he was renting a room there, and we were all on the porch, you know, after rehearsal, thinking like for a new band name, and so we looked down at the end of the street, and there's Southern Avenue, so that's how we got the name. Wow. Southern Avenue. And it just fits because we take you down all the southern genres, all the roots. And but you know, we grew up I was born in Whitehaven. I went to elementary school out in East Memphis, and then high school in Carrierville and Germantown. And then when I left home, I was homeless, baby. I was in Fraser. I was in I was everywhere because I was homeless. But like, that's just, I mean,
I feel like it's more so about the household than where you grew up, because
we were sheltered.
We grew up, I mean, church, we were kids. Definitely in the suburbs, but my mom and them was definitely heavily in the church, which is, that's a whole nother layer.
What church did y'all grow up in?
We don't have to name it, but it was a family church.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is that the way my parents operated, they were very diligently dedicated to the church, and so we often were examples, and we had to carry ourselves a certain way, which meant we couldn't do anything that we wanted to do.
Anything. All we anything had that was we wanted music. To do.
But at the end of the day, my parents were musicians. And so even growing up, like, we didn't really have a bedtime, right? Like we would have people over to the house late at night up playing music all night long. Because they're musicians, I feel like they have this sort of way about them that has always made them relatable, mm-hmm. more so than anything else. Like, mm-hmm. as much church as they would, you know, preach to us, as much rules or as much regulation they would impose on us, we still have music. We got to see them be free and see them be true to, like, their even to this day, like, my mom is completely 100% who she is, and that is a dedicated minister, but also a badass musician. Mm-hmm. And so I think how that influenced us in our sound is we've always been taught to honor the purpose of music. You know, we don't come to church to play. Mm-hmm. We come to church to give God the praise. That's the saying, right?
She says, give it all you got.
But when you when you translate that out into the real world, it's like we just drove 8 hours to show up to be on this stage with no shower, no coffee, no tea, to be here to give you guys this music and to share and be with you guys, the audience, in this vulnerable moment, to be able to uplift your voice, because y'all can't sing, right?
How do you balance that music is a commodity, but it's also, for you all, like a lifeline?
Wow, that's a good question that we still balancing today. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think, sorry, I don't mean to keep jumping at it, but like, I feel like the commodity part, we live every day and we see people make a living, mm-hmm. off of the craft. Mm-hmm. And so, excuse me, y'all, I'm choking on myself.
Choking on the excitement of
but,
the spirit.
But yes. but we see every day that people are able to create a path for themselves. So I don't like to consider music, just because I'm doing music, it comes with its own challenges, mm-hmm. but everything does, mm-hmm. when you're pursuing something and you're the brain behind it, you know? And so I think us understanding the power behind what we're doing, it's also pushing us and opening the doors for us to do what we do. So as long as we're true and honest and listening to ourselves, everything is working itself out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes things may not happen the way we would like them to, or mm-hmm. as soon as we want them to.
Yes, indeed.
But as you can see, the way we are today as a band is not because we jumped the ship and pulled Ava out of school, mm-hmm. and said, you gonna come on the road with us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because we took our time to grow. And even like when we started,
honest with the journey.
Yes.
It's not full of ego. I feel like I've just, my whole life, my loyalty has always been to music. I've never had any other dream, not marriage, not kids, no other career. My loyalty has always been to the music, and it has taken care of me. It has carried me. Even when I felt like I was losing, I knew that music had me. That was all I had to look forward to. That was all I had to live for. Mm-hmm. Just, and my loyalty to the music has just, it's returned to me, and it's been a blessing to my family. And you know, so it's like, even when it looks bleak, when I'm broke, mm-hmm. my loyalty at the end of the day is to the music.
Girl, this is speaking to my soul, obviously. This is so incredibly direct for me. I want to take some time to make sure that we get to another song of y'all's from this new project. I discovered Late Night Get Down today. It is one of my faves. At this point, it might be at the top of the list of my faves from this album. Because yes. I just love sexy songs, okay? Yes. And then also, TK, did I discover a song of yours that I didn't know existed today? No More Fear?
Yeah.
I was vibing. So I really want the people to at least know about that. Even if I don't have the time to play it today, I want to make sure that we get to Late Night Get Down. And I also want to play one of these interludes, because the interludes from this album, they're so good, you guys. Yeah. And they really, really tell the story, which I deeply appreciate. So I have limited time, but I want y'all to just tell people where they can find the albums, and then we can listen to Late Night Get Down.
You can find the album on the website, southernavenuemusic.com, and you can find it everywhere on all the streaming sites and everything. So,
perfect. Okay, we're going to get into this Late Night Get Down. I want to thank you ladies so much for being here with us today. It
thank
has been
you.
An absolute yes. pleasure. I feel like we have so much more to talk about, but for now, we're going to just listen to the music.
Yeah. Cool.
Missed the night train. The streets was roaring heavy. I was followed by a drunk man, and my heart started to tear it. He grabbed me by the arm, pulled me into the crowd. Per his request, all he wanted was a late night get down. Trying to make it home.
knew I